You're tuned to 90.5 WICN, Jazz Plus for New England. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Listen online at WICN.org. Good evening, I'm Al Voner. Nice to have you with us this week. My guest this week is Dr. Stephen Lesk. He's also the author of the new book, Footprints in Schizophrenia, The Evolutionary Roots of Mental Illness. And maybe it doesn't affect you directly, maybe not your family, but I think somewhere along our lives, we hear of somebody, maybe a friend or a relative, we hear about schizophrenia. So basically, what is it? How debilitating is it? It's obviously a mental disorder, but for the next half hour, we'll be talking with Stephen Lesk about the book and what research he's done. But not only that, what he's put forward in terms of a treatment, perhaps a groundbreaking treatment for schizophrenia. Stephen Lesk, welcome.
Thank you. I'm ready to expound on my book and my theories and maybe shock you a little bit.
Well, just be careful when you're taking notes, because a lot of people have deemed me maybe a little unstable. So I just want to warn you about that. So Stephen, let me ask you right from the start. What is schizophrenia? Or schizophrenia, I should say.
It's a chronic, persistent mental illness. It usually starts between the ages of about 18 to 25, and it doesn't go away. It's a lifelong problem. And what happens is that people are in high school. They seem to be doing all right. They have some friends. They're academically okay. Then around the end of high school, start of college, people start noticing a change in them. They don't take as good care of their appearance. They start walling themselves off from people. And then they may start saying odd things like, the government is following me, or there are voices coming out of the vents, or people are hacking into my computers. And they talk about hearing voices. They may act very bizarrely. And at some point, it becomes clear that they need psychiatric attention. And once the diagnosis is made, they have to be on medication the rest of their lives in order to function. But even with medication, functional expectations go down once you get that diagnosis of schizophrenia. And a lot of them will live in group homes where they're supported with meals and given their meds, etc. They may not marry. They may hold low-level jobs or no jobs. There is a group of schizophrenics called high-functioning schizophrenics, but that's the minority, not the typical schizophrenic.
Now, Steve, it was interesting as you were talking. As you said, somebody can, go through, their young years, middle age, teenage years, and then all of a sudden show signs. In other words, show signs early on, show signs later on. Does it have anything to do with genes? Does it have anything to do with family? I mean, so when we're born, is that seed planted there, and then you just have to kind of hold your breath in hopes that it doesn't evolve into something more?
No, it is not a genetic illness. Now, genes do increase your risk. So if you have a parent with schizophrenia, you're at higher risk, or a sibling. But genes aren't the answer. That's not the cause of schizophrenia. According to my theory, and this may shock some of you, a mental illness, not just schizophrenia, all mental illness is entirely due to the evolutionary moment that we're in. In other words, 50,000 years ago, there was no mental illness. 20,000 years from now, there will be no mental illness. But because we're in this unique evolutionary moment, we're seeing mental illness in about 20% of the population. Schizophrenia is 1% of the population, but there are other mental illnesses, major depression, bipolar, anxiety, OCD. Altogether, about 20% of the population have a mental illness because of this unique evolutionary moment that we happen to be in.
Now, when you say evolutionary moment, does it have anything to do with where we are in history? In other words, what's going on globally, what's going on in our country or right in our own backyards? Or is it, as you said, it's just, you know, we get these highs and lows, as we go through life?
Well, it has to do with the onset of language. Now, human-like beings have been around for 6, maybe 7 million years. Language has only been around for 50,000, and it entirely revolutionized how we use our minds. So obviously, some people are not going to be quite as on board with that radical change as others. And those are the people we label mentally ill. I call them evolution's dispossessed, but their brains haven't quite adjusted to this new mandate brought about by language that others have. And that's a shame, but they have to live with it until we work through this transition, maybe 20,000 years from now.
Another question I had for you, which, you know, following up with what you just said, we have now pretty much well engrossed in the social media era. As you said, you know, 40, 50 years ago, we didn't have cell phones. We didn't have computers the way we have it today. We didn't converse through Facebook and other forms of other social media platforms. So that was an evolutionary change, something that for decades and centuries, people spoke face to face. They wrote letters. They got hard copy mail. They got hard copy newspapers. Do changes like that, the onset of like technology is what I'm saying. Can that be a spark?
Well, no, that has not changed the incidence of schizophrenia. It remains 1% worldwide across all ethnic boundaries, political boundaries, socioeconomic boundaries. Some people blame social media for an increase in anxiety among youth, and there may be some truth to it. I think it's a little over exaggerated, but there may be some truth to that, but that's not a causative reason for schizophrenia or other mental illnesses.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I want to just take a quick pause to remind listeners that you're tuned to 90.5 WICN, Jazz Plus for New England. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Listen online at WICN.org. I'm Al Vona, host of The Public Eye. Nice to have you with us if you're just joining us. If you've been with us since the outset, my guest this week is Stephen Lesk, author and MD. His new book is Footprints of Schizophrenia, The Evolutionary Roots of Mental Illness. Stephen, so 1% globally, again, not necessarily genetic-driven, but so it sounds like one's environment can certainly play a big role in this, right?
It can, but again, it's not due to that. In other words, there are genetic things that increase your risk. There are environmental things that increase your risk, such as if you grow up in an urban area, you have a higher chance of schizophrenia. If you have abusive parents, if you have a father who's elderly, if you were born in winter months, you have a higher risk of schizophrenia. These are environmental things that shift the odds a bit, but those are not the causes of mental illness. They're just shifting the odds and vulnerability.
In the book, you highlight, in fact, you use the term primitive organization theory. Is this something that you were the trailblazer of? Is this something that you, through your research, that you've come up with? And what exactly is that?
Yeah, it's entirely my concept. No one else is using it. What it means is that when schizophrenics break down, it's not that their brains go, you know, haywire, or they have internal LSD, or they just totally are messed up. They regress to a previous way of thinking, a more primitive way of thinking. And it's the same kind of thinking that you see in children. It's the same kind of thinking you see in ayahuasca users. It's the same kind of thinking we all have at night when we're dreaming. We have a primitive way of thinking. So schizophrenia causes a regression in thinking to thinking that's less complex, and it makes it very hard for them to negotiate this complex world that we're in.
Now, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it's something that's a regression, not just a miswiring or screwing up or chemical intoxication. It's a regression to a previous way of thinking.
Does that lead to, let's say, violent tendencies? Does that lead to the individual who up until that point becomes more aggressive in how they approach anything, another person, life in general? What's the most negative aspect of schizophrenia?
Well, the negative aspect is that these people suffer quite a bit with hallucinations, with delusions. But by and large, schizophrenics are very passive people. Mm-hmm. They're not dangerous. They're not contagious. They're not possessed by the devil. All of these things are stigma. And if we could understand mental illness better, which is what I'm trying to do, stigma would decrease. But schizophrenia is a very debilitating thing because you have to cope with a less complicated way of thinking, and that's not easy. And you may have delusional beliefs. Because your thinking is more childlike, you may believe that the FBI is following you, or that satellites are tracking your movements, or that voices are emanating from the vents. And all this makes it very painful to live. These voices may scream at the patient, "Kill yourself, you're rotten, you're no good." So it's very difficult. It's very painful for them. And medications do help, but they're just not good enough.
Yeah. And as you had talked about, what ends up happening, especially in the, the more aggressive forms of schizophrenia, is that they're grouped with others, who are suffering from a similar situation, but basically shielded from the general public. In the book, you mentioned it, because you were just alluding to drugs. Back in September of this year, the FDA approved one of the first new schizophrenia drugs in many years. And correct me if I'm mispronouncing this, Cobenfy?
Yeah, Cobenfy. It's a new drug, and it has a new mechanism of action. Now, the bottom line is, in its ultimate form, it does the same thing as the older drugs, just gets at it from an entirely different direction. So it's too early to tell if this is going to be a potent medication, and if it's going to lack some of the debilitating side effects that we get with the standard meds, like weight gain, type 2 diabetes, permanent neurologic disorders, muscle spasms, drooling, seizures. Psychiatry is in the dark ages, and it's in the dark ages because they don't understand the role of evolution in creating mental illness. And until you understand that, it's like putting a bicycle together without the pedals. It may look good, but it's not going to get you anywhere. So I'm trying to broaden psychiatry's knowledge and interest in the role of evolution in creating these things.
I can tell you one thing, Stephen. Reading the book has given me a whole new sense of empathy, and you clearly and vividly described, not only the disease itself and the traits, that are part and parcel of the disease, but more importantly, when up until this point, various medications were used, the side effects are debilitating as well. And it's just, it's like, you really feel so bad, for these individuals, because as you said, and now hearing that the mental health industry may be in the dark ages, what's the short-term prognosis for people suffering from schizophrenia? I mean, are you confident that we're making strides, that in maybe in the next few years we'll see significant increase in being able to help them, or is that still a long way off?
It's a long way off, but it could be much shorter if the psychiatric community would take a look at the role of evolution in creating mental illness. That's why I wrote this book. I want every psychiatric patient, whether you have major depression, bipolar, anxiety, OCD, schizophrenia, to go to your provider and ask, what is the link between evolution and mental illness? And if they don't know, give them this book. because until we change that, things aren't going to change. We need to broaden the understanding of Orthodox psychiatrists to this issue.
Now that the book is out, and as you've been describing the footprints, the evolution, if you will, in leading up to this disease, do other practitioners in the industry, like yourself, the ones that you talk to, maybe the ones that you met at conferences, etc., are they on board with this? Do they kind of, do they say, hey, Stephen, you're onto something here?
Some of them are, but I will tell you this. A lot of psychiatrists are dissatisfied with where psychiatry is today. Can you name one other specialty that doesn't have a single blood test, a single x-ray, a single CAT scan to make a diagnosis? The only thing we can do to make a diagnosis is to listen to what the patient tells us and what the family tells us and what the old records say. We cannot diagnose with any blood test. We're in the dark ages, and it's a shame. That could change if we look at evolution and shift our research focus away from this obsession with genetics. Genetics may affect your vulnerability, but it's not the cause of the illness. It just shifts your odds. That's all it is.
That's frightening, what you just said, that, I didn't realize that. No blood test, really nothing more than just sitting down with the individual in many cases, because you've done it for years, your first time face-to-face with this individual, and then you have to draw a professional conclusion as to, what it is that's affecting them. Where are they on the, where are they on the spectrum here? So I guess most people would agree, and I think most people would be shocked that this there's nothing else outside of an interview with many of these people. Has there been in the years when you were practicing? Because I really believe that each practitioner at some point says, I'm going to kind of think out, as you have, I want to think outside the box, if you will, and try something novel here. Have you implemented anything when you were in private practice where you saw significant increases in terms of bringing people or curing people from schizophrenia?
Well, unfortunately, we're stuck with the tools that we have, and the tools are primitive. They help some people. They don't help others. Some people can tolerate them. Others can't. We don't know which one is which, and there's a lot of trial and error until we find the right medication that's effective and tolerable. So we have to struggle through all this with the patient, and patients aren't always in a good position to tell us what's going on with their mind. Or they learn to hide things because sometimes they get a strange reaction from people. So we're sitting in offices treating patients we don't fully understand with medications that only partially work to patients who don't realize they have an illness. A lot of schizophrenics have something called anosognosia. They're not aware that they're ill. They see everyone around them is treating them differently, but in their view, they're the same as they were.
Yeah,
they don't appreciate.
I didn't realize that. I'm thinking to myself, wow, your fellow employee, your next door neighbor, even a close friend or relative could actually be schizophrenic, and may not be in treatment, may not be on any medications, and just feeling that, you're making me out to be a victim here, or you're acting strange, stranger than I am. And that's going to be an awful challenge for someone in your line of work, right?
Yes. In other words, compliance with medication is a huge issue with schizophrenic. That's why they have come up with injectable medications that will last a month, 3 months, now even 6 months. So if a schizophrenic agrees to it, you can give them an injection and they don't have to worry about taking meds for a month, 3 months, 6 months. That's a very good advance, but it's not good enough because we still get these horrible side effects. Tardive dyskinesia is a neurologic movement disorder that can be permanent. We see tons of weight gain, type 2 diabetes, all kinds of things. Now, the medications help. I don't want to say that they don't, because they definitely do. And I'm not trying to dissuade people from becoming psychiatrists. It's a wonderful profession, and I help lots of people. It's just that we're not where we should be. we could be doing a lot better if we acknowledge the role of evolution in the creation of mental illness.
Well, I will say one thing, and I'm not, you know, I'm certainly not a professional. I know enough about mental illness to make a determination, but just the fact that you are a medical practitioner who's willing to say, who's willing to change the existing system and say, enough is enough. I'm seeing, you know, I'm not seeing any progress here. People are suffering even once they're on medications. And I think, Stephen, and I think you'd agree, and I just want to get in the final moments that we have, I just want to get your sense on all of this, that, you know, folks like yourself have to be able to stand up and say, you know, look, you know, I trust my instincts here. I'm well trained in this industry, but I'm telling you that the system as it is today is broken and needs fixing. You know, I think it takes guts, right?
It does, but I'm optimistic that if enough people will get on board, things will change. And that's why I want, you know, patients to go to their providers and pose this question: how does evolution affect mental illness? And if they just shrug, give them this book, because things will change. I'm optimistic that we can make a change if enough people get the message. Psychiatrists are dissatisfied with what they're getting. I review articles for a large continuing medical education company, and a lot of these articles just aren't helping us. And psychiatrists know that. So if we can get this spark going, I think we can make some changes within my lifetime, certainly.
Well, I'm you know, after hearing you talk about this, first of all, very passionately, I'm also going to assume that Footprints in Schizophrenia should be probably the next book on practitioners like yourselves' book list, because as you said, articles and information up to this point has not been necessarily eye-opening or you know, expanding one's you know, focus on how to cure this. But you know, you've got what sounds like a foothold on what may be the launching pad for you know, really curing people of this. Because I can only imagine. I mean, we all go through stress, Stephen. We all go through so many things in our life on a day-to-day basis, and you know, ups and downs, mood swings. I mean, I think it's part and parcel of life. But we don't know how these people are living 24/7, and many of it doing year after year, day in and day out, and never being able to live a normal existence. But anyway, with that said, if people want to reach out to you directly, maybe post questions, get more information, maybe they have a friend or family member who's suffering from schizophrenia and would like some insight, is there a way of reaching out to you?
Well, I have a website, StephenLeskMD.com. I'm on TikTok. I'm on X. And of course, my book is available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble. So if you take a look at it, it's written for the average person. I think you'll understand it. And then you can try to promote this idea that orthodox psychiatry wants to just duck their head and ignore it if they can. My job is to make sure they can't.
Well, you're leading the charge, as they say, in finding a new way of approaching schizophrenia and hopefully helping, you know, millions of people across the globe. Again, the book is Footprints of Schizophrenia: The Evolutionary Roots of Mental Illness. A novel way that Stephen Lesk has put between the pages of the book in approaching schizophrenia, and one that hopefully the industry as a whole will take to heart in helping so many people. If you have any questions about the broadcast, we certainly welcome your comments and your feedback. You can email me directly. That's Al Vona, V-U-O-N-A, @WICN.org. And you can certainly go to our safe and secure website, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, at WICN.org. Again, I want to thank my guest this week, author and medical practitioner Stephen Lesk. The book is Footprints in Schizophrenia. For the public eye, this is Al Vona. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you.